at that time, but they were not there 1 week prior to the initial hearing. And I don't know if Scott remembers, but he should, because he told me there's nothing there, and there wasn't anything there. So we did not have a chance to see the parking schematic or the buffering schematic prior to the hearing. So those are two pretty big issues to us. So that's what that's all about.
What about your effort?
The lady that just was here before us talked about the numbers of people in the subdivision who were opposed or in favor of nightly rental. I talked with everybody in our subdivision, and only two people out of the whole subdivision were not opposed. Only two were not opposed. Is that correct? Everybody was opposed, but two. And we had petitions, letters, all kinds of stuff. Overwhelmingly, our subdivision was opposed to this. We have neighbors here who are going to speak, they're in the next almost connected neighborhood. They're all opposed. So if we're going to talk about who's in favor and who's opposed, pretty much everybody in our subdivision is opposed, and we had a petition stating that.
Okay. Do you remember this, the planning and zoning? Were you there at that meeting?
I believe I was, but Scott, concept still is a separate hearing, right? It's public hearing and final vote.
If you remember, this was during the amendment time of the code book, and we had, I don't know, six or eight nightly rental applicants that had been pushed off for a couple months, and I asked the planning commission if they had an issue with holding the concept and public hearing the same evening. And of course, Dave said no, they used to do that in the past a lot when they got busy. And they moved forward with it, so we put them on as the concept. And I remember at each end of each one, I asked if they wanted to move forward with the public hearing, because that's what the book says. You don't, you approve it at concept,
yeah,
and then move it to public hearing.
Okay. Yeah,
but that disallows the public to understand what's going on.
We sent the notices, and it's in the paper.
Well, right. Yeah, we came to the public hearing, but we didn't have the information and the stuff that from the concept hearing, which we would have had, because I wanted to be sure I saw everything, mm-hmm. and it wasn't there. Okay.
Is there anyone here to speak for or against? Could you please stand up and state your name and share your opinion?
Sure. My name is Linda Bokel. I live at 331 Lemonwood Lane. It's a few houses away. Do you need to swear me in?
We did that with everybody.
Okay. I would just like to state that the purpose of planning and zoning is to establish boundaries for land use groups. The home on Oakwood, which is the subject of this appeal, is part of Oakwood Estates subdivision. This subdivision has covenants which are recorded and on file at the recorder's office. Among other things, the Oakwood Estate covenants specifically state, number 3, all lots in said subdivision shall be for residential use unless specifically designated as commercial property, and no residential lot may be used for any commercial purpose. When subdivisions are laid out, platted, and have covenants recorded, this is done for the purpose of providing buyers with an assurance of uniformity of land use. Subdivisions involve lots, not acreage. Homes do not have a lot of distance between them. People buy homes in subdivisions for the uniformity of the development. Any decisions which affect the uniformity of the subdivision affect everyone who owns property in the subdivision, not just those within 300 feet. Any decisions made which affect the uniformity of the subdivision should be made only with a consensus from all of the property owners of the subdivision. An established residential subdivision with recorded covenants should have a reasonable expectation that the county will not make decisions which override the covenants and the intent of use. There is nothing that is single-family residential about short-term rentals. The people who own these homes do not live in them. They rent the homes as much as they can to generate income. Short-term rentals are unattended hotel-motel businesses. There are multiple unrelated people in these homes multiple times a week. The people operating these nightly rentals do not know the people who are renting from them. The renters are not vetted and never even meet the operators. Anyone with a warm credit card can rent, and each time it can be anyone staying in what is supposed to be our residential neighborhood. The city of Springfield passed an ordinance in February regulating short-term rentals. In their ordinance, they call short-term rentals businesses. The ordinance states that the reason the ordinance is to preserve the quality, integrity, and stability of Springfield's residential subdivisions. I called Stone County, and they have a permitting process similar to Taney County's. I asked, what do they do in the case where there is a subdivision with covenants restricting commercial use of the properties? I was told that while Stone County cannot enforce a subdivision's covenants, they would uphold the subdivision's covenants and would not approve a permit that would be in contradiction to the subdivision's covenants. So while we do understand that there are going to be rogue folks out there who rent on the down low when they are not supposed to, and that is hard to stop, we still expect Taney County Planning and Zoning should not be granting approval to people to rent nightly when it is incompatible with the neighborhood and in conflict with the shown intended land use that we have all bought our homes under. There is no place for this type of business in a platted residential subdivision of single-family homes. This permit should be denied. If there are problems, the residents of the neighborhood are left dealing with it because they are there. I have gone door to door talking to homeowners in our neighborhoods and adjoining subdivisions. The overwhelming majority of people do not want these short-term rental businesses in the middle of our neighborhoods. The complaints are always the same: partying, ignorance of property boundaries, property destruction, strangers not knowing who has a reason to be there, drug use, and theft. The Sheriff's Department has demonstrated that they do not want to deal with these complaints, and the business owner operators just brush it off, make excuses, or say it has been taken care of. When something happens, the troublemakers are quickly gone, and a new batch of unknown people are in. Taney County is placing a hardship on all of us in these single-family residential subdivisions every time you consider one of these permits. The opinion gathering by the county is inadequate and unfair. There are many older folks who have trouble driving here. I'd rather get root canal than have to be up here speaking. I don't want to be having to do this. There are people who have to be at work when these meetings are going on. There are people who are out of town. It's an inconvenience. All of us bought a house in a subdivision of similar homes classified as single-family residential and do not want our investment ruined by bad planning and zoning, which changes the use of our subdivision and mixes commercial use in with our homes. We should not have to spend our time and safety driving over here to preserve our neighborhood's intended use over and over again. It is the responsibility of planning and zoning to delineate and separate residential from commercial properties. Resorts in our area are separate and have distinct boundaries. They also have staff on the premises to deal with their customers. You should not permit a commercial endeavor smack in the middle of a single-family neighborhood. The purpose of planning and zoning is to establish boundaries for land use. Allowing a nightly rental in the middle of a neighborhood is like introducing a cancer into a body.
Hey, I'm going to give you one more minute, then you go do something.
Okay. Cancer has no boundaries and spreads irregularly. Do your job and deny this permit.
Thank you. Hey, we're going to be here all night. I'm going to start limiting you to 5 minutes. Is there anyone else that wants to speak for or against this?
My name is Tom Bokel. Thanks for Taney County Board of Adjustments for the opportunity to address this appeal for the Oakwood nightly rental permit that was granted. At the second public meeting, the approval meeting, the permittee was allowed to plead his case, presenting additional evidence for the approval of the nightly rental permit. When I requested it to talk, to ask if comments against the nightly rental permit from the first public meeting could be reviewed and any letters received for the denial of the nightly rental permit be reviewed, I was denied to be able to ask any questions. At the second public meeting, the approval meeting, the main topic was the bushes dividing the property. The permittee said that he would plant bushes, but this should have been done before the approval meeting, or the voting to approve the permit should have been postponed till after these bushes were planted. The nightly rental permittee also stated that next door neighbor to the right was in favor of the nightly rental permit. There is no letter confirming this statement. At the first public meeting, the next door neighbor to the left, the Unger, Susan Unger, and the neighbor across the street talked, requesting that the nightly rental permit is denied, but this was not communicated at the second public meeting, the approval meeting. At the first public meeting, a showing of hands proved how many were against the Oakwood nightly rental permit, but this was not communicated at the second public meeting, the approval meeting. There was also numerous letters sent to the Planning and Zoning Office against the Oakwood nightly rental permit, but these were not communicated at the second public meeting, the approval meeting. At the first public meeting, Susan Unger stated how previous unpermitted renters used their dock, which is located behind Susan Unger's home, but this was not communicated at the second public meeting, the approval meeting. At the first public meeting, the chairman for the Planning and Zoning Commission was not present, so the comments against the nightly rental permit from the first public meeting should have been communicated at the second public meeting, the approval meeting, but they were not. There is a rating system that identifies the capability of a residential home to be permitted for a nightly rental permit, but this rating was not communicated at the second public meeting, the approval meeting. These are the reasons that I think the Oakwood nightly rental permit should be revoked. At the second public meeting, the approval meeting, the permittee was allowed to plead his case, present additional evidence for the approval of the nightly rental permit. When I requested to talk to ask if there are comments against the nightly rental permit from the first public meeting that could be reviewed and any letters received from the denial of the nightly rental permit be reviewed, I was denied to be able to ask any questions. And can I see a show of hands of people against this project?
Are y'all going to speak?
Yep.
Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Again, 5 minutes.
Yes, sir. Thank okay. you. Good evening. My name is Dick Heider. Excuse me. My name is Dick Heider. I live on Lemonwood Lane, which is just around the corner. I have read the. Let me first say that I think more important than the specific findings that were made in the granting of the permit, I think the integrity of the process under the guidance code for reaching a decision is and should be the paramount concern. And in this particular instance, I believe the commission failed in numerous respects to follow the procedural requirements of the guidance code, resulting in an unfair and a flawed decision. I have read the materials presented by the Ungers, so I won't repeat what they've said since you've indicated you've read that. I do want to emphasize a couple of points, and I'll try and do that within my 5 minutes. First of all, the concept hearing and the public hearing should be two separate hearings. The purpose of the concept hearing only allows the developer to make a presentation. So the public does not expect to make a presentation at that hearing. The purpose of the concept hearing is to decide whether you should go forward to a public hearing. So to have the concept hearing and the public hearing all combined and rolled into one, I think is a disservice to the public as well as the developer, because he has to be prepared for everything at that night. Whereas the public, really, if they're coming to a concept hearing combined with a public hearing, they will not have seen the materials. They won't have an opportunity to really digest and see what they might agree with or want to object to. The second public hearing is simply not called for under the guidance code. At the first public hearing, or the only public hearing, October the 9th, after evidence was taken, both by the developer and those who either opposed or in agreement with it, it was announced that the public hearing was closed. All the evidence was taken. The following week, on October the 16th, was to be the decision night. But yet, the commission went ahead and began to take additional public information. And they did that by inviting the developer to speak again. And it's at that time when the discussion revolved around the buffering requirements. But up to that point, the public did not anticipate there would be anything other than a decision. So the public did not come prepared